Today, the Feast of Pentecost, one of the feasts of the Lord, pictures both a beginning for the Church of God some 1995 years ago, and at the same time, the conclusion of the Church of God in this age at some point in the near future. You ever thought about that? So it's a beginning and an end. It was this day in June 17th, about AD 31, that the New Testament church was born, with the Holy Spirit being poured out on the original apostles and, give or take, about 3,000 others who were baptized later that day. I've baptized three people, one after another. I can only imagine what it must have been like with 3,000. It is also the end of 50 days of gathering the first fruits of the harvest, symbolic of the first fruit harvest among men that will continue until the return of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I just said? It's still going on and will, as God directs, for whatever amount of time we have before Christ returns. Now, I'm going to shock some of you, especially you prophecy buffs that love prophecy. You can't get enough of the videos that are out there and the people that present it. You love that. That's fine. I may very well die, as you may, before Christ returns. What? Well, I just heard so-and-so down in so-and-so. He's going to be coming back within a year or two. Things are so bad. Maybe. Maybe not. What's more important? We're going to talk about that today. I can tell you without stuttering that God is still calling, gathering his first fruits. Well, I know I'm there. Every funeral I hear preached within the church of God, we always send him straight to the first resurrection, and that's not right. Because we don't know that. Well, yes, we do. Why, if they attend this fellowship or that one or whatever group you're with, they're going to faithfully, they'll be in the first resurrection. Some will, but not all. We need to read our Bibles. And so God is still calling. I regularly talk with folks. I used to work for a group that would teach at times, well, you know, the church is aging, not a lot of baptisms, we keep getting smaller. God's just not calling a lot of people anymore. I disagree. I regularly talk with folks who reach out who desire to know more about the truth of our Father and our Son. They have no history like I do. And my wife does, and some of you. I could mention names that mean nothing to them, or acronyms. It means nothing to them. They don't care who this president, that council member, this ministerial board, that ministerial council, this presiding evangelist, they don't care about that. They don't know all the history of who came from where, what, where, and whatever. They want the truth. And so, as our Father and his Son, and they both call, by the way, we used to thunder, John 6:44. Let's go there a minute. John 6:44, no man can come unless the Father draws him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read it. Word for word, I think I did, but John 6:44. Okay, so it says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Okay? Let's go over to John 14, verse 6. We never read this one. John 14 and verse 6. You ready? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Whoa, where'd that come from? So it takes both. Disagree with me all you want, but it takes both. And so God is continuing to call both the Father, Father in heaven, and His Son. So there's a couple, three questions we need to ask ourselves today. Why did God choose to even create a church, or as I prefer, the ecclesia, or called out ones? Why did He choose to even create one? What is the real purpose of His church? And then, the harder question, are you and I today fulfilling that purpose? We need to examine these questions and gain understanding. We're told to grow in grace and knowledge, right? Over the years, some have written about these questions I just posed and have referred to them as a great mystery, hidden from the understanding of most of the people of the world today. And frankly, far too many still think, I believe, and teach they are in His church today, having little clue what that really means. It does not mean any particular fellowship or acronym. So many hold on to that with a grip like there's Gorilla Glue that's not dry yet on their hands. And then it's going to dry. So that brings up a question then too. What do most people believe is the purpose of the true Church of God? You see, the church is inseparably linked with the gospel Jesus Christ brought. He prophesied of a church of called out ones, Matthew 16, verse 18, well before His crucifixion. And then after His resurrection, He commissioned the church to preach His gospel message to the world. We all know that one, Matthew 28, 19, and 20. For most in the professing Christian world, the purpose for that gospel, and therefore the purpose of the church, is to save as many souls as possible. Nothing could be further from the truth. The idea is that the gospel must be preached to as many people as possible. Altar calls, come as you are messages, missionaries, revivals, in order to bring as many as possible to Christ. Not scriptural or true. The church, therefore, is the instrumentality to reach the world and save souls from eternal damnation and hellfire. If you can just say Jesus, you won't go to hell. That's all you got to do. Just say the name. But make sure it's three syllables. You know what that is. Jesus. That's four. Jesus. That's four. That makes it more profound or perfunctory. Let me analyze that for a second. The larger and more prosperous your church is, the better you are doing in fulfilling the purpose of the church. Wrong. God's blessing us. Look at what we have. A headquarters, home office. A television show. A radio broadcast. Our own church buildings. I know, some of you are turning me out and said, I've had enough of this guy. He just completely always has to point out the obvious, that he's wrong. What happened? He lost his mind. The financial situation or the amount of money that your church has reflects that you are pleasing God. Again, wrong. It's faulty reasoning. It's human. Is the understanding of God's church and the fellowship you're part of, if it is, if it's not, Why not? We also must have a burning desire to preach the gospel to the world. We want also, yes, to reach as many people as possible with the most important news that they'll ever hear. So shouldn't we be looking to bring as many people as possible into our church? I heard so many lectures, so many themes, so many seminars. I've been in more than one fellowship. I've been in three now. I'm in one now, so I've been in two others. We need to make sure they come to our church and then stay there. Give your heart to the Lord and your pocketbook to us, right? Why can't I just speak plainly and people get offended? Because it's true. It's human. So shouldn't we be looking to bring as many people as possible into our church? If we're doing what God called us to do, shouldn't we expect our church to grow in respect of numbers on a daily basis as it did in 1950 and 60 and 70? Many still focus on this, that they are not obeying God as a church or a fellowship if hundreds or thousands do not start sitting in their pews. To understand the answer to this, we need to remember why God created humanity to begin with. Remember, what was the title? Why did God create a church? Keep that in the back of your mind. Romans 8, 29. Let's go there, please. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In just this one verse, we can see that some have and will be called to conform to the image of his Son, to become like him in character and spiritual nature, that Christ might be the firstborn of many brethren. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he may, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Through Jesus Christ, our Father, God, is working to bring many sons to glory. If you combine this with the numerous scriptures that call Christ our older brother, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with him, that God has given us a spirit of adoption, whereby we can say and cry, Abba, Father, that literally means, oh, Daddy. We are thus reminded of the awesome fact that God is reproducing himself through the medium of human beings in human flesh. For those of you that remember Pinky and the Brain, I know I refer to it too much, but every beginning of every show, and today they would say every morning, what is the plan? Pinky, what is the plan? The Brain would say. A satirical cartoon. Is God attempting to save as many as he can right now? Because some teach that. That's their whole focus. And they may have the best of intentions. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. Let's go back there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim, as it should be pronounced, and no S, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, to guard it. In the beginning, though, that tree of life, representing God's Holy Spirit, was freely available to Adam and Eve. Yet after they rebelled, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which he said, don't eat, God barred them and their descendants from having access to that tree and thus his spirit. With the exception of a few, David, some of the prophets, that's the way it was for about 4,000 years. If it was God's intent to save as many souls as possible in this life, what did he do for 4,000 years of human history? He really messed up. He blew it. Don't you think? If that was his plan. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go over there. 1 Corinthians 15. Please, with me, if you would. Man, when you got to go through the whole Bible, doesn't it? It's a lot of pages to turn, ain't it? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. Very familiar passage of Scripture. For as in Adam, all die, because Adam chose to be cut off. Even so in Christ shall all, the same all, be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruit, the first of the first, if you will. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. Those that have the indwelling of his spirit, that have repented, that have become converted. God has a plan for everyone who has ever lived through a resurrection from the dead, but each one in his own order. There is an order, there is a purpose, and there is a plan. So ever since that first day of Pentecost in 31 AD, when the age of the church began, God poured his spirit out in the church, relatively very few people have been associated with the true church of God. It has not been, and currently not, God's purpose, even now, to call everyone today. Today, this time in history, is not the only day of salvation. So you could just wait and live in this world and have a blast, do all you want, and take your chances and wait till it is your chance, right? That's a whole other sermon. No. So if God is not trying to save everyone today, then what was the gospel message Jesus Christ taught? Matthew 9, verse 35. I'm asking really basic questions, I know. But I think sometimes we forget those basic questions and concepts, or we don't know. And some of you, this is the first time you've heard any of this. I understand that. Matthew 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 24, we're here in Matthew. Let's go over to Matthew 24 and verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the earth for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So the same gospel the church is to be involved in proclaiming. The gospel of the kingdom of God, the culmination of God's plan of salvation to be offered to every human being who has ever lived, but each in his own order. It is revealed through the seven annual holy days that God gave to mankind, that God is not willing for any to perish. 2 Peter 3:9. You can look that up later. 2 Peter 3:9. But rather is anxious to offer salvation to everyone in his or her own time. the culmination, the precipice, the climax of the plan is the kingdom of God, the world-ruling government of God set upon the earth. And now we get down to what we call the nitty-gritty on God's purpose for establishing his church. God is not trying to save the entire world at this time. So the purpose of the church is not to save as many souls as possible, to get as many people in your fellowship or my fellowship as possible. Are you surprised? Some who listen to this message will be, and perhaps not even be real happy with what I just said, and say, you're nuts. But we need to, and we must, take God's word at what it says, not what we think it says. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 says, since we know that God is not a respecter of persons, we know that he's not playing favorites by calling some now and some later. So the purpose of the church is not just to bring the Creator's favorites to the salvation table to escape the horrible things at the end of the age. Yet some fellowships still teach God called you to save you from the wrath that's coming. Spiritually, yes, but physically? And then we have difficulty when we suffer, don't we? Experience has proven that God is not trying to provide a peaceful place of refuge in a world of chaos for those who have somehow earned the respite. I can tell you from personal experience, I said to my wife this morning, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. It is through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of God. Sorry, that's what God's word says. I say I'm sorry, I'm not sorry, but sorry because you may not want to hear that if you're suffering or I'm suffering. So the purpose of the church is not to provide a smooth road, a peaceful way for a select few. And we sing, Kumbaya, my Lord, I'm in the right place. Potluck's cooking, you can smell it all over. I love everybody, they're all my friends. And it doesn't matter what happens, because I win in the end. Right? The purpose of the church is not to provide a smooth road and a peaceful way for a very select few. So what is the purpose of the church? Listen carefully. This isn't new truth. The church has been created to grow people that submit to the will of God, obey him, and to grow those that will become leaders for the coming kingdom and family of God. He didn't call you just to be able to be with me or be with somebody else on the Sabbath to fellowship and forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That's part of it. But that's not the main focus. Years ago, we are the only true church of God, and all these other sad sacks. Shame on us. Shame on you. Shame on me. Matthew chapter 19. Go back. We're in Matthew. Matthew 19, verse 27. Join me if you would. Then answered Peter and said, behold, we have forsaken everything and followed you. What shall we get and have therefore? We've done all this. What do we get? Right? And Jesus said, truly I say unto you that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when you're changed to spirit or rebirth, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit it everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Did you hear that? Christ promised to the original disciples, if they remained faithful to him throughout their life, they would inherit 12 thrones, each one judging one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, they can't do that. They don't know how to use an iPhone or a Droid or a... Right? They don't know how to do online banking. They've never seen Netflix. Revelation chapter 3, not Revelations, but Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that overcomes the downward pulls, the physical pulls, all the challenges, the health, the financial, family struggles, nation. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ears, let him hear what God's Spirit says unto the churches. To each of us who are called at this time and continue in overcoming, he has promised positions of leadership. In John chapter 14, and some have said, oh, that's not what that's talking about. They hear some expert tell them. No, it is talking about that. John chapter 14 and verse 2. Let's read it. John chapter 14 and verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Okay? The Greek word there means position, responsibility, leadership, authority. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we have all been, once we repent, continue to grow in grace and knowledge, submit to his will and not our own, we're called for responsibility or positions of responsibility prepared for us by Christ. God is working, and folks, I can't emphasize this enough, to train a foundational, administrative, spiritual leadership structure for his kingdom now, so that we will be prepared to step into those positions with the proper attitude that God has tested over and over again and knows when the time comes. So the great purpose of the church of God, the ecclesia, the called out ones, and our spiritual mother, is to train and develop those God will call in his timing for future spiritual leadership positions in his kingdom as kings and priests. He's not going to care if you know who won the Heisman Trophy in 1985. He's not going to care if you know who is going to be the next president of the United States. And the list goes on. Apparently, God cannot instantly create holy, righteous, perfect character. And yet that is what he needs most in his kingdom. People who have proven by their lives they are committed to his way of life. And every one of you and I are going to be tested on something to find out if we will put God first or something else. It may be your wife or your husband. It may be your family. It may be your money. It may be your church. It may be pick your health. God wants to know. He's a jealous God. Will you put me first? And some of you aren't and won't. The Bible's clear about that. Not everyone that says, yes, Lord, yes, will be in his kingdom. Not everyone who says, I've been part of this fellowship or that fellowship, or never ate pork and just kept the Sabbath and the holy days. Yes, but how did you live? What was in here? How did you treat other people? What did you do to get what you have where you are? Did you compromise God's law? Well, you're getting awful picky. No, I'm not getting picky. I'm not God. God says what? You put him first above everything. Remember what the young man said? Well, yeah, I will. I'll give up everything and follow you, but I got to go bury my dad first. Or I got to go take care of this piece of land. Or I can't obey you, God. These are my friends. This is my family. And when God opens our mind, he says, follow me. Study my word. Pray to me, not just some, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die, feed my dog. You know, for me, if I don't wake up. That's not a prayer. God wants to know where is our heart with him. God established his church, and he gave it a commission. And if that church will carry out that commission, it will have completely fulfilled its purpose on earth at this time. So his church, or called out ones, are to also what? Feed the flock. Feed my sheep. That involves teaching, encouraging, supporting, protecting the children of God. They are his, you know. I had that conversation once with somebody of responsibility. I said, would you disagree with me that these children of God, these brethren, don't belong to you or me or your fellowship or mine? They belong to our Father and his Son, but they belong to our Father. We are still far too human, carnal, if you will, and not ready for spiritual leadership in its fullest sense yet, so we need to continue growing into the people God wants and can use. And we have a limited amount of time to do that. What if you die from a heart attack tonight? How are you doing? Well, you got the rest of the day to get right with God. I'm just saying. Where are you? Are we learning to be humble? Obedience to God, strength of character, and doing what we're supposed to be doing. Is our focus our comfort zone? Financially, physically, family-wise, church-wise, health-wise? Is our focus still, and I'm sorry, but who the leader of our church is? Or who's on this board or that board? Or who's the president? Oh, he's our guy. The other guy was a scumbag. Now we got our guy, right? God puts people in office whoever he wants and allows that. Whatever it is, we think we are so opinionated. You know? Are we not? All of us? Can you imagine if we were all in charge? I don't even like the word in charge. We have a lot of opportunity to grow, learn, and change. Are we doing that? I hope my wife and I have helped some of do that over the decades. I try. His church or called out ones are to preach the gospel to the world. This is to get each one of us involved individually first. Most importantly, how? Individually, with prayer, study, personal examination, fasting, personal efforts and example in the very work and the truth of God, living this way of life. Write down how long you spend on your phone every day on social media. Write down how much time you spend on television. Okay? Write down how much time you spend at the mall shopping. Whatever it is you do. And then write it down on a piece of paper and say, how much time did I spend with God today? My Father. I'm not going to make any further comments because at this point, if you're like me, you're probably embarrassed. The church, the body of Christ, provides a warning message to the world which we use as a powerful teaching tool by God in the future, and it gives us a chance to show God how zealous and dedicated we really are to the truth. I'm going to warn everybody now. I guess I won't do it today. I'll give you till next Sabbath. And you might not want to come next Sabbath. Because next Sabbath at the lunch table, I'm going to ask a question for all of us. And Gail's going to ask me first. What did you study in God's Word this week that helped you grow personally? Okay? I gave you a week. Didn't jump it on you right now. Every time I've done that in the past, folks have scattered and not come back because it's uncomfortable. But I want us to make a shift, and God created a church. We talked about in the book of Malachi on Tuesday night, those of you that remember that, I said in the chapter 4, God says, there was a book of remembrance written for those that spoke often to one another and focused on me, my name. And it's like, wow. And then it goes on, the famous verses of Elijah the prophet will come back before the grateful, dreadful day of the Lord, and then will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children of the fathers. You remember those. But it just struck me. The final minor prophet, as we ended the Old Testament, in the Bible that I have, it just came right out and said, those that feared the Lord. And the Bereans, you remember those? In the book of Acts, I believe. They searched the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. So I challenge you, what I'm saying today, look it up and say, is this guy, does he know what he's talking about? Is this what God's word says? I challenge you. Because if it isn't so, get out of here. Run away. Run, Forrest, run. But if it is true, prayerfully join me that we can reach more. And it gives God a chance to see what we really mean. Why we're living. It's not that God cannot do this without us. Do you know that? Jesus said God could raise up stones to be the seed of Abraham. And he could certainly raise up stones to preach the gospel as well as any of us are doing. It isn't us that God needs, but what can and should be developed in us that God wants and needs. And he desires a family. That's awesome. Would you like to have a family where everybody, all your kids and grandkids and brothers and sisters, all you ever did was argue and you never agreed on anything, and every time you got together, somebody's nose got bloodied, and somebody, the door got locked, it wasn't welcome, and you didn't talk to the person the whole time they were here, and you wouldn't look at them? You may say, who in their right mind would do that? Oh, I've been to lots of places they do that. I've been to church fellowships they do that. You know, depending on who you know and what you are, you're either good sheep or bad sheep. But people will keep coming. And they are like, what's wrong? And God says, I want us to become converted, as Bruce said, I believe, in the opening prayer, to be changed, a different creation. It's hard, folks. It's just as hard for me as it is for you. We're all in this together. But God desires a family. When the billions who have not been called in this life are resurrected and given their chance, their older brothers and sisters will be there to help and encourage them. It's going to be okay. I'm pulling for you. I'm with you. I'm going to help you. Right? I've been through this. I went through a living Hades when I was in the physical life. I know. Oh, you don't know. Oh, I know. The structure will be in place to help bring multiple millions of human beings to repentance and true conversion. The master plan of God then will reach fulfillment, but then hold on. That's not the end. The spiritual body that was begun on AD 31 in Pentecost was never designed to be a huge or all-encompassing on the face of just the earth. In fact, it's always been rather small without much strength or influence. Too many fellowships have become too big for their britches, and they keep trying to grow instead of maturing spiritually and serve our Father and His Son and their children whom He calls. At times, the church has been persecuted and its members tortured and killed for their beliefs. But it has remained and continued to function as God planned. And I think Joel Myers is going to talk about this soon. So we find ourselves today, you and I, inheritors of the original congregation in Jerusalem. We are connected by God's Spirit through all those ages and are commissioned to do the same job. How many of you have taken on a new job and you have all this stuff to learn and it's a different focus? And you're like, you know what's really cool? I've been doing this for over almost 65 years, this way of life. It hasn't changed. I have the same, if you will, marching orders that I had when I was baptized over 40 years ago. It hasn't changed. So we can't say, well, I couldn't adapt to the new teaching or the new truth or the new direction or the new responsibilities or whatever you wanted, God. I just couldn't follow what you wanted me to do. And He's going to say, So the only remaining question, now I'm going from preaching to meddling, is whether or not you and I are fulfilling that purpose. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors to the not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. That's not our goal. That's not why we're here. But if we live after the flesh, we will die. That's verse 16. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, kill, destroy the deeds of the body, you shall live. Are we doing that? Oh, God will understand. I'm just tired and I don't want to resist. It's too much work. Is your calling what sets you on fire and gives you a zest for living? Or do you just show up at church once a week, do your thing, then go back home for the rest of the week? Verse 14, for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, listen carefully, that we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. You are a son and a daughter of God. Then you are, by the power of God's Holy Spirit working within you, fulfilling your purpose for being called into the church of God today. When I pastored in Charlotte, North Carolina, initially I had seven churches. For 6 years that I was there, every single sermon, I mentioned Galatians 2:20. Did I not, Gail? I am crucified with Christ. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but it's not us. but Jesus Christ by the faith of the Son of God that gave himself for us. That Spirit is what we need living in us. That's what the purpose of the church at its core is. This Feast of Pentecost today is both the beginning and an end. It revolves around the church Christ built, and in its place, the overall plan of salvation. I wish I had Unlocking Salvation's plan behind me, because that's what this day pictures. Because his Spirit is what unlocked that. It really is a mystery to a lot of people, to most people. But the God of the universe has chosen to open our minds and reveal it to you and me. How cool is that? Let's go back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 17. And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And then he said, "And I say also unto you that you are Peter," meaning a little pebble, "upon this rock, this boulder, I will build my church, and the gates of the grave," or Hades, "shall not prevail against it." Peter was part of the human foundation for a church that would never die. It was not established to convert the world or save as many souls as possible, but it was established to serve and train a rather small number of individuals who would be called out in this time. We would learn in tough times and good times to fear the Lord our God and to serve him without wavering. We are to serve the living God, not men, not a pastor, not a president, not a council member, not a ministerial board, not a presiding evangelist, not a deacon, not an elder, but our Father in heaven, with which at his right hand is his Son. We will be and would be involved, those that God called, in getting the true gospel message out to the world, but more than that, be trained to serve in the government of God for what? All eternity. That is our vision. That is our calling. That is our purpose. Grasp that. Hang on to it. Because that's why there is a church, an ecclesia, a called out group of people by the very living God. It is our reason for being. Join me in prayer if you would. Our Father in heaven, oh, what a blessing it is for what this day pictures. The power of love, power, and sound mind that your Spirit gives us. Give us strength, give us help. Send us the Paracletus, the Comforter, to encourage us, to heal our iniquities, to heal our hearts, to heal our minds, to heal our bodies. Father, help us to be about serving you, to get our lives. Father, salvation is nearer than we think, in check. Because when we have you, Father, living in us, your Spirit, there is peace. No matter what we've been through, what we're going through, what we will go through, there is peace that passes all understanding. We're humans. We suffer. It's hard. It's difficult. It stinks. And the older you get, the worse it gets. And then you die. But then when you die, what happens? And that's what this day pictures as well. So, Father, please just thank you for all you've given us. We pray you'll bless the food today. Please protect and be with and encourage in a way. Be with your children, wherever they are. Help us all, and we pray, Father, as we praise you, your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives on this earth. And we just thank you for all this, and we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.